Welcome to the Moral and Ethical Leadership Podcast, hosted by the BYU Management Society Salt Lake Chapter. I'm Dave Austin.
And I'm Kurt Frankum.
Wow. We hope you're all healthy and safe during this incredibly difficult time. We've been doing this podcast for about a year with our monthly luncheon speakers, and due to the crisis that we are currently in, we want to change it up a little bit. We want to start a new guest series called Voices of Light.
We know there are a lot of people suffering out there right now, and whether it's physical, emotional, economical, our hope is that we bring you guests who can uplift, inspire, and have honest conversations with us. We'd like to have guest interviews on a somewhat regular basis, maybe even weekly, and hopefully this can help all of us get through this together.
We're so blessed to have Jeremy and Kristen Anders with us today. Jeremy and Kristen, welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Kristen, my sister is an enthusiastic follower of yours on Instagram, and I have to say, you definitely flip the pancakes better.
Come on. You have to start out this way.
I'm the content creator in the home, and he had been, challenged to do a Kodiak flip-off, and it was so at my direction. I said, okay, this is how we're going to do it. And I got them all lined up, and then I was like, I've got to use this more than just this video. So I was like, Jer, I actually texted him. I'm like, who flipped it better? And he's like, of course you're going to try to one-up me.
She crushed me. It wasn't even close.
You got to have some fun in this, right?
That's right. You got to have some fun. You're both so involved in so many things, whether it be CEO of Traeger Grills, having a huge social media following, cooking, exercising, climbing mountain peaks, or being mom and dad to, is it six kids?
Yep.
Life is not slow in the end. it never has been. And I got to tell you, it just seems to get busier and busier. And there's an element of that that we both love. I mean, we're both high energy. We like to be active. We like to be involved. But there are definitely moments where I say, boy, I need a weekend. It does. It the pace doesn't slow down. Even right now, I mean, it's during this sort of interesting quarantine period. There's just more going on. It just shifts from one thing to another. So we like the pace.
Yeah.
For him, I'll say that's not true for everyone. I think right now, for me, it slowed down a lot, and I find that actually kind of difficult because I like to be busy and I like to have a lot going on. He's probably twice as busy right now, and I'm probably 75% less busy. And so that's tricky too. And I think right now I like that he's devoting so much time and being so helpful, and it's his way of serving and giving back in the community. And so then it's, you know, interesting when you're finding there's not a lot to do, trying to find ways to make sure that you're busy and your mind's still going and you're helping and you're giving back and all that kind of stuff. So I think a lot of us are feeling like there's not a lot going on, and that can be hard, you know, mentally and physically and in all those ways, being home with kids a lot. So I think it goes both ways for sure.
Yeah.
And Jeremy, you've been known to create great cultures in the corporations and organizations you've run. What are some things that you're doing just in your own home to create a positive culture during this time that can really kind of dampen that culture, even within a family?
You know, boy, it's so this is something that I've always believed in the business world. And it's something that we've been incredibly sensitive to as people have scattered and they're working remotely. You know, how do we keep things fun? How do we stay connected on a personal level and not just get on Zoom chats and sort of, you know, be very tactical about what we're doing? And one of the things that we've talked about is, you know, how do we make this a positive experience being home with our families? And there are two sides of this coin. One is homeschooling's hard. Now, I'm not doing it. Kristen's owning this. I hear the screeches in the background as I'm in my office grinding on a number of projects. But one of the things that I have loved during the last month is getting out and riding bikes with my kids or walking in the evening. You know, 3 days in a row now, our almost four-year-old twin boys and I have gone out at lunchtime and just hopped on our bikes and trekked around the neighborhood. And the other day I was walking outside to to grab the trash can or something. And I saw my two boys shirtless on their bikes with their helmets on. And one said, "Dad, can we ride to McDonald's for lunch?" And we're just getting on our bikes and taking 30 minutes. And it is the best time ever. I'm never home at noon. And the ability to find some of these moments and actually have some precious time, I think culturally that's been a positive thing in our family.
Yeah. And I've been impressed, Kristen, with your desire to turn your kids outward. It's a strong desire that I have. Well,
I think you broke up, Dave. Why don't you repeat that?
Yeah. Kristen, I've been impressed with your desire to turn your kids outward, and it's a strong desire that I have as well. How do you do that at a time like this?
You know, I wrote a post after yoga this morning because I come up with a word for every month, and it's taken me, what's today, the 10th? It's taken me 10 days to come up for a word or like mantra for the month because it's been really different and weird for everyone. And so my mantra is anxiously engaged in a good cause. And I thought every day I wake up, if I'm anxiously engaged and my children are anxiously engaged in a good cause, maybe that's doing FaceTime with grandma and grandpa. And maybe that's reading a book by myself. Maybe that's doing a bike ride with the family. But I feel like if you kind of plan and try to schedule and being anxiously engaged in some kind of good cause, and it's not going to be a big food bank trip or it's not, you know, right now, right? Things have changed a lot. And so I've had to kind of change, like today we're going to pick up a bunch of face masks. So I'm like, all the kids are coming. We're going out to West Valley. We're going to pay this woman, this Vietnamese woman who made 100 face masks for us. And I'm going to turn it hopefully into some kind of learning opportunity so that we can be anxiously engaged in a good cause. It doesn't have to be a major philanthropy effort. It may just be a really small phone call or a text or a dance class that my girls are doing, or even just being physical, meaning, you know, moving more, being outside. So that's every day. I'm like, if I can get my kids and myself and our family anxiously engaged in a good cause, we'll have a good day that day. When there's not a lot of structure and you're kind of wandering all over, I think that's hard. Right now, it's actually really hard to give back. It's really hard to serve. It's, you know, food banks not taking you, visiting friends or, you know, those that are underprivileged right now, you know, you can drop groceries off, but you definitely have to find different ways of looking outward. But I think every day I'm definitely looking at ways to do that. And then the key is telling your kids about it. I think so often it's like, oh, you know, Dad and I do this for Charity Vision, but our kids have no idea. And so having them engage in what you're doing, talking about what you're doing, we're going to go pick up these face masks. This is why we're doing them. This is who I asked to make them so that we can pay this woman for doing it. And then we're dropping it off to her. And this is what she's going to do with them. And this is why these people need them. And so really turning it into a learning opportunity where it could just be like mom heads out for 20 minutes to go pick something up. You make it into something more and explain what you're doing and why you're doing it. And it can be kind of more of a learning opportunity.
Yeah. Awesome. And I appreciate that mantra and that approach to it, because especially with, you know, comparing, you know, looking on social media a lot of mothers, especially who are working mothers who are maybe trying to balance a career or a business as well, they sort of feel like, oh, I've got to be this super mom and create these memories and do all these things. But I like your example of just saying, you know, it's just a little bit effort, just those little things and activities that you can do, right?
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Jeremy, I'm curious, are you seeing, it seems like, I don't know, I don't have as much of a finger on the pulse of this, but it seems like people are reconnecting with maybe their grills that they've had maybe they got for Christmas or whatever they haven't really jumped into. Are you seeing that as well?
They are big time. This is an interesting process, and I'm learning more and more as I connect with small business owners in some work that I'm doing in the community. But there was a lot of uncertainty when this whole thing hit. And, you know, I remember the week it hit, it was when the NBA season was canceled and visitors from Europe were suspended. And that's when everyone said, this is a big deal. Like this is real and this is going to have impact. And I remember sitting down with my leadership team and saying, what's going to happen to us? You know, is our retail going to remain open? Are people going to grill more or less? You know, what is the role that we play in this? And initially, and we manufacture and sell the wood pellets, they just went through the roof. You know, we could not believe it. And we said, is this just people panic shopping, buying toilet paper, water, and Traeger pellets? We'd love to believe that we sit somewhere in that mix of necessities. We have a couple hundred thousand connected grills. And so we can actually see how much people are grilling, what they're grilling. And it turns out that every week since it's hit, 4 weeks in a row, our customers have actually grilled more than they did Super Bowl week, which is a massive week. So they are grilling. And this is something that it really goes back to the mission of our brand and our brand promise, which is to bring people together to create a more flavorful world. And for us, of course, the flavor is the food. It's the wood-fired flavor. But the flavor is, it's the culture and it's the energy and it's the experience of being part of bringing people together around food experiences. And, you know, I think our brand and our product is tailor-made for this moment, which is if you're going to be home, you might as well be outside as the weather is getting nicer. You might as well be cooking with your family. You might as well be having a great experience around a dinner table and having a good conversation with good food in the middle of it. So, you know, we're trying to be a part of the moment with families. Of course, we're a for-profit business. We want to sell more grills. We want to sell more pellets. But I also think there's something that we bring to families who just have to spend time at home that makes the experience better.
Yeah. And talk a little bit about the work you are doing in the community as you've been tasked to lead the Economic Impact Committee. What are some key learnings for all of us there? And where are we at and where are we going as a state?
Boy, we survey small businesses every week. This week we had 2,500 small businesses participate in the survey. And at a high level, this has the potential to be devastating to small businesses. It's a scary thing. On average, our small businesses believe that they cannot survive longer than 90 days under the current circumstances. They're making as many pivots as they can. But this is a dire moment. And this is, from a small business perspective, this is in the history of our economy. It's never happened that there was a moment in time where we didn't just slow down, but we stopped. You know, we took the light switch and we turned it off. And so, fortunately, the federal government has launched some programs. Our state government is starting to do as much. And so I view one of the principal roles of our committee as being to help educate these small businesses to the fact that there are stimulus funds available, teach them how to apply for them, help them understand how they can use these funds to keep their business afloat, and then start to provide some useful tools for an entrepreneur to think about, you know, when your business falls off a cliff, how do you pivot? What's an emergency checklist of things that can help you think about getting back on track? One of the subcommittees that we're focused on and bringing some really great resources together is in mental health. This is a hard moment for people. I mean, like the stress of spending a decade or two decades building a business and then having your financial means yanked out from under you, that's a scary thing. And we already see in the statistics that there are some mental health challenges for me. And so we're really trying to understand these mom and pop small businesses, the challenges they're going through, and really rallying some resources to support them. And I got to tell you, it's like one of the coolest things that I've seen is what's going on in Utah right now. You know, you really see the community come together. You know, I'm seeing hundreds of people reach out to me saying, how can I help? We've got a committee of you know, 20 CEOs who are busy and running their own companies, but they have some unique capabilities to bring to bear, and they're rallying around this and they want to help. And, you know, last night we did a town hall for small businesses to talk about a specific loan program. And since last, we had 600 people join. And since last night, we've already had over 2,000 people view this. And so I feel really good about the community wants to rally, the community's listening. And as hard as the moment is, I see that. And it gives me some optimism that, you know, we're gonna skin our knee a little bit along the way, and some won't make it. But I think we have the ability to help a lot of people.
Yeah, love that. And we just talked with Davis Smith, I think it was last week or the week before, and he talked about some of the efforts he's making as, you know, a leader of one company reaching out to a leader of another. What have you seen for both of you, in the entrepreneur work that you both do, as far as how are business leaders reaching out to each other and innovating by reaching out and joining hands?
So, literally within 48 hours of the knowledge of how serious this was hitting, we had 100 CEOs from Utah on a conference call, and it was, you know, the CEOs of the largest companies getting together to talk about what are you seeing, how are you going to work through it, what gaps do we have in Utah that we need to solve for. You know, how can we partner with the government, with the state government, to get some things done? And that those early calls turned into these public town halls, which we've been doing 3 times a week, just moved to 2 times a week. But it's an opportunity for people to dial into Zoom and to hear who's working on what, to share best practices, to rally resources. I mean, I'm seeing companies give their resources. You know, one of the business leaders on the economic impact committee that I lead is Trent Kaufman from Cicero Group. And Trent has dedicated some resources on his team to help with the survey work and the analysis and the communication. I've seen, Josh James at Domo do this. He's built an amazing dashboard around probably the best dashboard in the world on coronavirus that you can double click in a lot of different ways and really drill down. Ryan Smith, dedicate Qualtrics resources. There's a team that gets together frequently that's focused on this testing and just to get coronavirus tests out there. There was a funny picture that someone sent out a few nights ago. They needed a refrigerator to store samples at the lab. And so it was a picture of Ryan Smith and Mark Newman picking up a refrigerator from the Qualtrics office to take it over to the lab. It's like, obviously that Qualtrics doesn't want that refrigerator back with the coronavirus samples that are going into it. But I have just seen the state business leaders rally around the cause. I've seen public-private partnerships form. And, you know, I have a network of other CEOs in other states. And when I tell them what we're doing here, they're just blown away. I mean, they say, we don't have, like, there is no sort of community of CEOs like that. There is no partnerships that we're doing. We're not part of any of that. And I think it's a real tribute to our community. It's always been a business-friendly community. It's always been tight-knit. The Silicon Slopes organization, Clint Betts, has done a really good job of saying when it hit, we got to get people together. And at first, there was really no, we didn't know how we were going to help, but we just started to talk and it led to things. And again, that's one of the other signals that gives me a lot of optimism. Like at the foundation, you know, the sort of the fabric of this community is built up of people who want to help.
And I'd say on an individual level, obviously I'm not seeing it on the business CEO level, but most of us are just individuals trying to help a little bit. And I had people share stories of what they're going through online, and people really opened up and shared raw and real and hard experiences because life was happening and life was already kind of hard, whether it was with your marriage or children or issues that you were having, finances. And then you throw coronavirus on top of that and everything just gets mixed upside down. And so like Jeremy talked about, and he's working a lot on, is mental health is a really, really big struggle right now with so many people. If you're already kind of on the edge, you're really, really not feeling great about things right now. And so I asked people to share their stories, and they did, and they shared these really hard, raw and real experiences that they were having and what they were going through today. And to see people jump on and say, I want to help the mom, the single mom that can't buy her groceries. I'm a therapist. I'm a life coach. Let me help her. Let me do this. I've had a child who struggled with an eating disorder. Can I help that woman who's going through it right now? And so to see these people that are like, I think everyone wants to help, right? And so just to see individuals not even knowing these other women and them connecting was so powerful and so amazing. One, that they were able to share their story and kind of, they even said just writing it really helped them a lot. And then to see 5 times the amount of people come on and say, I want to help that lady. I can be helpful in this way. And so I just, to me, that just shows awesome. How remarkable we are as human beings helping each other.
Well, and that was my question too, is this is such a unique circumstance that we all find ourselves in and all being cooped up together. And you've talked about it, Kristen, in general. How do you keep your marriage and family relationships strong during this time and also beyond afterwards?
Okay, so I interviewed a therapist last night on an Instagram Live because to kind of culminate all of these stories that we heard that were heartbreaking. And so one of the questions was, today, what can I do to help my marriage? And do you know what he said? He said, cuddle.
Oh, nice.
He said, just like the physical, he said, there's a lot you can do, but he said, just the physical love, whether it's cuddling, he said, it could be an animal, a dog or a cat, your kids, your husband. But he's like, keep that physical connection going. And I love that his answer was cuddle. I think we're always, well, he's going to bed a lot later than he used to, but really like keeping up on what's going on, what, you know, like really just keeping talking. Communicating. We haven't done great at like keeping up date nights or anything like that, but I have heard that like people go out and they just get takeout and sit in their car. He's really heads down right now, but I think respecting that too. Like right now he's normally pretty good about being home later ish for dinner most of the time, but then he used to travel a lot too. But now it's like, he is full steam ahead in all ways, but that's okay too. And so respecting that, taking over maybe where somebody's doing more than normal or less than normal, maybe trying to make up for your partner and what they're going through.
I think about a couple of things. One is, you know, one of the other things that I find so promising is, or so warm is when you take walks in the evening and you pass a family, there's this genuine desire to say hello, to extend a warm comment. And you realize that we're all going through this same period of uncertainty, and you know, as much as we may fake it, we all feel a little bit of nerves, some anxiety, some fear, you know, some feeling of, you know, our lives not being normal. And so I love that you know, you feel just an authentic desire of people to be helpful and
to connect. Like the waves mean more than they've ever met, right? Like you look across,
they're
like,
real.
Hi.
They're real.
Hi, yeah.
But at home we're spending so much time together, in closed quarters and staring at the same 4 walls, and you know, with the nice weather we can get out a little bit, but we're still in this place a lot more than ever before. I think recognizing that people are feeling different levels of stress. And trying to be more accommodating now than ever. You know, one of the things that became clear to me even before the Economic Impact Committee kicked off is that when you have 500 people in a company around the world and you have 200 people who meet together every day and suddenly everyone is dispersed, the workload and the need to rethink about your business and to connect with more people goes up. And so, you know, being accommodating around the fact that it's not like we're sitting home doing nothing. We're doing different things and just recognizing that there are heightened levels of energy, good and bad anxieties, and you know, just being more accommodating, more compromising, I think is super important right now.
Yeah, giving yourself a break. Definitely as a mom, as being at home with kids, the therapist last night was like, when you see your kids misbehaving, just love them more. So maybe it's like, if somebody's feeling like angry or angry, you're like, just love them more rather than putting up your guard and knowing like what Jeremy just said, like cut everybody a break. You see a lot online right now, a lot of shaming and stuff going on. I think we're all just doing the best we can, right? And I think that goes with families as well.
Yeah. I love that. Great advice, especially Christian. I heard someone say that a great thing to do right now is turn on a comedy and spoon, and that the oxytocin that comes from that and the laughter. I mean, that's good medicine at a time like this, right? So what final, as far as like encouragement, just general encouragement would you give to business owners out there, people in the business community, professional groups that are just so unsure? I mean, what encouragement could you give to them?
You know, I think like any adversity in life, when you're in the middle of it, it seems so deep and it seems so long. And when you look back on it and you have some perspective, you realize that life was going to go on. You were going to manage through it. And whenever you manage through adversity with a positive attitude, that's actually when it not only passes faster, but you get more out of it. That's when I think you look back and you say, that was actually like that was a unique experience that I wouldn't have invited upon myself, but it has real value in my life. And so I think this is a moment to recognize that the world has gone through a lot of pandemics in the past. We are a very vibrant and resilient state and country and globe. Humanity is resilient. We're going to find a way to get through this. It's going to require some different behaviors, especially as the world has changed. But people are smart and they're resourceful. And, you know, we're going to get beyond it to the extent that we can do it with an eye to what is, although the moment may not be positive in aggregate, what is positive in this moment? What can I take away from it that actually may have real value when this passes? That's how I think you make it an experience that's not only bearable, but has something of value.
Well, thank you both so much. We're so appreciative of you taking your time to be here with us today. And I know that you're so busy and have so much going on, and you're an inspiration to so many. And we sure appreciate you being here, and also appreciate all of our listeners. We'll be back again next week with our next in the Voices of Light series. Have a great day.